Can you provide just an update on conditions right now regarding flooding and emergency management?
Sure. Right now in downtown City of Reno, we're looking pretty good. We've got all the water is contained within the banks. There's some mild localized flooding along Riverside Drive, but it's more from the storm drain, not the river overflowing. We've got reports of water on Edison Way over on the edge of Reno and Sparks. Not much as far as flooding in the buildings, but there is flooding on Edison Way. We had substantial flooding earlier today, primarily all from tributaries and irrigation ditches. Steamboat Ditch breached in a number of places. Some places over by Offenhauser in the end, we ended up doing voluntary evacuations of close to 400 structures.
And can you go into a little more detail about what those voluntary evacuations entailed for you all?
We had people that were getting isolated by water in certain areas, so we gave them the option of helping them get out. We had some people that were not as ambulatory as others, so we had our water rescue team would go and put the people in inflatable kayaks and essentially walk them through the flooded areas on the boat to an area of refuge where they could be picked up by a bus or other transportation.
And I understand, in addition to the evacuations, you all have performed a lot of water rescues as well, like car rescues.
Yeah, you know, what's kind of held true is, in the national standard, most of our problems with floods come from people driving into flooded water. They become trapped, and sometimes it becomes a medical problem. We had several cases where people drove their vehicles into water. The vehicle became disabled. We had to extricate the person from the water or from the vehicle and get them out of the deep water.
Okay, and that, I'm assuming that happened multiple times.
Multiple times, that's correct. And then in the middle of all of it, we also had a structure fire in downtown Reno, which was unrelated to the flooding. But again, you know, in our world, the regular calls don't stop just because there's a flood. So we've been running our typical medicals, car accidents, and, as I said, a structure fire, in addition to the additional load of calls from the flood event.
And can I ask, looking ahead for this commute time this morning, what are the challenges you foresee in the next, like, 6 or 8 hours?
Well, we've got a number of roads closed right now because of high water. We are preparing a report that will go out through all the news media outlets probably around 5 o'clock in the morning that will give everybody an update on the commute and what to expect. We don't have a total feel for it yet because the floodwaters are still rising farther east. So we feel like the water has kind of stopped rising. At the Reno gauge, it was 12,500 CFS for the last 2 hours, and it's actually dropped slightly on the gauge as far as the depth. So we may have been through the peak. But as the water kind of piles up to the east, we may see some more localized flooding.
Any major surprises that occurred over the last 12 or so hours, things that you just could not have prepared for?
I would not say surprises in as much as typically when we have these events, what really hurts us is the, as I said before, the tributaries, the ditches, the irrigation ditches, and there's really no way to figure out where they're going to break. In other words, you can predict the high water from the truckee, and you can predict when you think it might overflow the banks. Then there's a relatively high expectation that there's not going to be a failure of the bank system on the Truckee River. However, all the other ditches and so forth, you don't know when that's going to break or where it's going to break. So that was actually one of our largest evacuations area when we had Steamboat Ditch have a breach in the ditch up by Quillacy Ranch Road, and we'd evacuate that entire neighborhood.
Looking again to the upcoming morning commute, as an emergency management official, what messages do you want to get out to the public for how to act and how to remain safe for the next 6 or so hours?
Well, if they see water on the road, it's important to try and avoid those areas because one of the big problems there is submerged obstacles. Often when the water comes up, it'll blow the manhole covers off, so you have these big holes in the roadway that you could drive into. So you want to be really careful with those. And from the perspective of an emergency manager, it goes a lot more for us than just the commute, because now we start dealing with the damage mitigation. The event of the flood itself is something that we're trying to mitigate to keep people safe. But after the flood has gone down, we have to help mitigate all the damage that occurs after the fact. So that's a big part of our job, and that'll be what we'll be doing in the next operational period, is assessing what damage has occurred and trying to figure out how to mitigate it.
Anything I didn't ask you about that's important to note?
I guess and I think I touched on a little bit before, I think the theme here is that part of the reason why this event's gone relatively smoothly is we got a little help from Mother Nature, but we were highly prepared, and all the different agencies working together allows us to be very responsive with a variety of resources.
Seth Williams, thanks for your time.
Thank you. You have a good evening.